بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. We have come to the last section on wudu, which is what breaks a person's wudu. So we understand that if impurity exits from the private part front or the back, then a person's wudu will break. Likewise, if blood has to come out of the body and flow, then a person's wudu breaks. If the blood doesn't flow, doesn't drip, remains in the wound, it's a pin prick, it just bubbles but doesn't move from there. In all these cases, where it doesn't flow, doesn't trickle, doesn't drip at all, then a person's wudu will not break. Person has a deep wound and now he can see some blood in the wound, but the blood has stopped flowing, no more flowing. And he made wudu, then the wudu will not break. So wudu will only break with the flowing of blood. If a person had a wound and the blood was oozing out, so he kept on dabbing it, but he knows that it would have flowed if he didn't dab it, then too his wudu will break. If a person, he had a wound and one is, we said that the blood flowed, then it will break. The blood doesn't flow, then it won't break. The blood oozed out and he kept on dabbing it, then in that case the wuzu will break only if he knows that it would have flowed. The other case is if he squeezed it. It wasn't flowing, but he squeezed it and he caused it to flow. So in that case where he made it flow, then to his wuzu will break. So in all circumstances, whether he induced it or on its own, the blood flows from the wound, then his wuzu will break. So we're clear on that, blood flowing. Likewise, if blood exits from the nose, comes out of the eye, maybe there's an internal pimple, it came onto the eyeball, you can see some blood on the eyeball, there's wuzu won't break. But the moment it exits, it flows out of its place, then the person's wuzu will break. So we can understand about the flowing, and there should be no ambiguity regarding that. Then all the other related matters we explained. If a person was bitten by a mosquito and that mosquito sucked his blood out, so that's another case. So ulama say, now these small insects like mosquitoes, etc., insignificant, you don't pay attention to it. But if it's like a leech, ulama have gone into this level of detail. Say if it's a leech, now a leech can suck a lot of blood, and if you had to cut that leech and the blood would flow, then your wuzu will break. And if it's like a mosquito, someone had that masla and wanted to know, Topi was messed with blood. So that's insignificant, small, very small. But if it's like a leech, then in that case, the person's wuzu will break if it is so much of blood that the blood will flow. Blood in a person's saliva. Person took an apple now, before the saliva masla. He bit into the apple. When he bit into the apple, he sees the redness in the apple. But he can't find any blood flowing, and his saliva doesn't show any blood, any reddish, then his wuzu doesn't break. The only time a person's wuzu break, if he can see the reddishness in the saliva. When the saliva is, the blood is quite overwhelming in the saliva, you can see the reddish color, then the wuzu will break. If a person has an earache, it's an interesting one, ear is paining. And while it is paining, or because it is paining, there's some liquid that's coming out of the ear. So this liquid that is coming out is regarded to be impure. And the flowing of that liquid, when it comes out of the ear, then it'll have to be washed. Firstly, the liquid will have to be washed. And also this will cause the wuzu to break. Same with the eyes. So it's considered to be some internal problem that is causing that, some maybe boil or some infection, and that's impure, and when it flows out, then it's also regarded to be like blood flowing out. Then the person's wuzu will break. If a person, maybe at night, he was sleeping, and when he was sleeping, his nose was maybe bleeding. In the morning, it's dry. So he didn't know, or he cleared his nose, he made wuzu, and now he finds some dry blood in his nose. So the dry blood doesn't break a person's wuzu. Sometimes a person blows his nose in the mucus, he finds some dry specks of blood, that doesn't break the wuzu. What breaks wuzu is flowing blood. Flowing blood, thin and flowing. It's thin, it's flowing. You can understand how fresh blood is when it's thin and it's flowing, then the wuzu breaks. If a person vomits a mouthful meaning it's very hard to keep it in. It's so much that it has to come out. Then a person's wuzu will break. And if it's less than that, it won't break. Vomiting a mouthful. Likewise, we have to understand that anything that causes wuzu to break, any impurity that causes wuzu to break, is an impurity. Therefore, it should be treated as such. What does this mean? If a person had flowing blood, even if it's 2-3 drops, the 2-3 drops that flowed is impure. If it falls on a person's clothing, if he wiped it, he'll have to wash it off. It's impure, napak. But if it doesn't flow, and he dabbed it, so then that won't be regarded to be impure. That blood that doesn't flow is not regarded to be impure. Person had a pin prick. The blood oozed out slightly, bubbled, never flowed. That blood won't be impure. So as long as it doesn't flow, then it's not regarded to be impure. So that's important to understand. So when they say mouthful, then if it's mouthful, then it will be impure also. We need to understand that. And if it's less than mouthful, then it won't be impure. Because only a mouthful breaks the wuzu. Same with the babies. The same question comes about that the baby is breastfeeding. Some people feel, no, if it's a breastfeeding child, the vomit is pure. No, there's no such thing. Baby's mouth is small also, so mouthful for the baby is much less. So if it's very little, very, very little, sometimes a baby vomits little, very little, so then that won't be impure. Mother doesn't have to worry about that on the clothing. This is a secondary masala. But if it's mouthful, then that will also be impure and it'll have to be washed off. The other aspect that breaks a person's wuzu is sleeping. Now we explained last week about sleeping in salah, that doesn't break wuzu for the men. Sleeping in salah for the men. The woman sleeping in salah in sajda. In sajda, because they are constricting their bodies, the ulama say in that situation, we will regard the wuzu not to be valid if they have to fall off to sleep. And if a man falls off to sleep in his sajda, then his salah will still be, his wuzu will still be intact. But sleeping out of salah while leaning on something or lying down, then a person's wuzu will break. But if he's leaning on something, then he must be so deep in his sleep that he is not conscious at all. They say in Arabic, lo uzila anhu la saqata an. If it was something that could be removed, like the wall, he is in such a deep sleep, if you had to remove the wall, he would actually fall down without waking up. Such a deep sleep. But if he's in a light sleep, in a very light sleep, that if you had to just disturb him slightly, he'll wake up. So then that sleep won't, his wuzu won't break in that case. Right? But it depends now, discretion, right? Person's discretion. Catching fish. Person is catching fish, like in that situation now. Falling off in the bayans. Falling off. Interestingly now, You say, falling off to sleep. One of the elders was explaining, he says, why you fall off to sleep in a dini program? Person is sitting in the cinema, and there he is not falling off to sleep. There he is wide awake. But now he's sitting in a dini program, it's Juma, it's a bayan, in the middle of the day, and he's falling off to sleep. So they say that when the ruh gets sukoon, the ruh finds solace in environment that is conducive to it. When the ruh is happy, see the baby is calm, at ease in the arms of the mother. Crying all the time, but when you put it in the arms of the mother, and the mother knows how to make that child comfortable, the baby falls off to sleep within a few moments. So the ruh also, it needs an environment, it needs a certain atmosphere to feel calm. So that ruh finds that solace and that calmness. Qala Allah, Allah Ta'ala said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sahaba, إِنَّ ذِكْرِهِمْ تَنْزِلُ rahma. Allah's rahma descends. And they mention the zikr of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned sahaba, pious awliya in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now a person is sitting there and his ruh is absolutely calm. You know, when a person gets a nice massage, how you feel? So now the ruh is getting massaged there now in that program. So then a person falls off to sleep. Nevertheless. So if you fall off to sleep, you have to worry about your wuzu. Right? If you fall off to sleep while in a sitting position without leaning and not in a deep and even if it's in a deep sleep, the person is sitting in a deep sleep but sitting like this, then his wuzu won't break. The only problem is when you're leaning against something, leaning on something, then the wuzu will break. Catching fish, that won't be a problem, inshallah. Laughing aloud in salah also is one of the masail, one of the rulings that we just have to accept because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. When a person is laughing aloud, something transpired where Sahaba radiallahu anhum, something had happened, someone fell down or something had happened, can't remember exact details, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had laughed in the salah. So then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, you'll have to go and make wuzu. Go and make your wuzu. So from there the masla was taken from the hadith that if a person laughs aloud, mature person laughs aloud in salah. Laughing aloud means the person next to you can hear. I told you all that one person asked the masla, say, Mufti sahab, when I start my namaz, I can't help it. I just start want to laugh, just want to smile and laugh. We had one friend from Saudi Arabia. I remember he started his namaz. Oh, he just wanted to kill it. He just wanted to laugh. He's holding it. So he's smiling in namaz, no problem. Smiling in namaz. But the moment a person laughs and there's a sound, people heard it, his wuzu breaks. Also, there's some rulings here that we don't want to mention in front of the small children, but inshallah, one of the weeks we'll mention it on the breaking of wudu. One is the breaking of ghusl and the breaking of wudu, inshallah. We will mention that, inshallah, one of the weeks. If a person remembers wudu, this is an important one. If a person remembers making wudu, but he doesn't know whether he still has wudu. Person knows, I made wudu Maghrib time. Now it's Isha time. He doesn't know whether he still got wudu or not. He can't remember breaking his wudu. He can't remember going to toilet. He can't remember breaking his wudu. Maybe he was driving. Maybe he was busy. He was doing, thinking, God, I made wudu. Just now is namaz. He knows he made wudu, but he doesn't. So in that case, they say there's a principle, there's a maxim. When you're convinced of something, it will remain even though you have a doubt. Al-yaqeenu la yazulu bishak. Conviction cannot be effaced and erased with a doubt. If you're doubting now but you're not sure, I know I never go to toilet, maybe, maybe not, but I know I made wuzu, then you will be regarded to be in wuzu. You will be regarded to be in wuzu if you can't remember And you shouldn't worry about it after that. If you need to read your salah, read your salah, don't have any doubt. This is an important one. It comes up many times in a person's life. Asr time, you needed to leave after Asr and go somewhere. Now you arrived at that place, just 1 minute left for namaz, or namaz is starting, and you say, you know what? I got this habit of making wuzu for every namaz, but now, I don't know if my wuzu broke. So don't worry about it. There's a masla, clearly. That if a person knows he made wuzu, and he's not sure if his wuzu broke, and he can't definitely remember something, or going to toilet, then he must continue with that wudu, if there's a need to continue with that wudu. Inshallah, we'll stop there. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.